And good afternoon from Charger Camp in Costa Mesa. Rob Parker sitting in for Rodney this week. We have a lot to get to on the BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse lunch hour and during the entire show. Lakers 48.5, 48 and a half wins according to Vegas. Rob thinks that's crazy. I don't.
Fred, where are you getting 48 and a half? This team, what did they win last year?
35.
35. So LeBron is adding 13 wins and all these one-year misfits and also-rans that they added to the roster?
You don't think LeBron is worth 15 wins?
Not in the Western Conference.
I'll
in the Eastern Conference, I'm with you. Not in the Western Conference. You still thinking LeBron's playing in the East or the Eastern Conference? Stop it. He's in the West now. This team will be lucky to get a seventh or eighth seed and make the playoffs.
No, he is the best player in the game by far, period, the end.
I get it.
Fine. He can put guys on his back and take them where they need to go. That being said, not only are they a third or fourth seed in the West.
Oh, stop. Let's bet right now on that.
How many chicken wings?
Let's bet 100 chicken wings.
All right, and what's the bet?
Just they have to finish in the top, what do you say, three
top
or four?
Top four.
Top four. If they finish lower than four, you owe me 100 wings. If they finish in the top four, I owe you 100.
And if they win a championship with LeBron.
Flat.
All right, fine. And if they win a championship with LeBron during the 4 years, you owe me 600 chicken
exactly.
wings.
Exactly. I'm not worried about that.
I'm not either. I want to eat.
All right.
Done. I'm ready to go.
So this year, fourth seed. Where are you coming from with
that?
Well,
you tell me. You tell me why they won't finish fourth. They're not going to beat Utah or Denver. That's what you're saying.
Yes, I'm saying that. Not out west. LeBron, very nice with those guys they have. There's going to be between Rondo and Lonzo Ball, there's going to be issues. People don't know what's going on. LeBron is going to push back. All kinds of stuff. They got so many issues going on because you're trying to put together a team that hasn't played together yet. There's going to be growing pains, all kinds of stuff.
You know something? They win above 48 games. They win 50 games.
They don't win 50 games. That's a pie in the sky.
It's not pie in the sky. We're at Charger Camp today, and joining us right now, practice is just completed, receiver Mike Williams. And Mike, thank you for jumping on and walking right over here. We appreciate it.
No problem. Good for having me.
All right, let me ask you, first of all, congratulations on your camp right off the bat.
I mean, sir.
You are having an incredible camp. But last week one day, I think there was a moment that really woke you up. You were coming across the middle, and didn't you just get devastated? Can you talk about that hit?
Yeah, I had a slant, and Phil put the ball up for me to go get it. I went to make a play, and DP gave me a pretty good shot. But, I mean, it was a pretty good hit. It's football, so we expect things like that. I just popped right back up, ready for the next play.
Mike, Nate Burleson said recently that this is the best receiving core as a group. Is it in the AFC? In the NFL? What do you make of that? Is that the case? And tell me about the other players, why people are so high on the receivers here.
Well, I feel like we come out every day just to get better. I mean, we have a great group. You know, we have Keenan, who is a Pro Bowler. You know, he come out here and lead the group. We have Tyrell and Travis also come out here and just, you know, lead us. You know, we all come out here, we want to compete, get better every day. So that's the standard. You know, play your best and just come out here and have fun, and that's what we do every day.
Charger receiver Mike Williams with us live in Costa Mesa. Fred Rogan and Rob Parker today on AM 570 LA Sports. I know you were frustrated last year when you were hurt.
Yeah,
I know
sure.
That drove you crazy.
Yeah.
All right, then you get better, you get a little taste. But really this year, it seems like the Chargers have two first-round picks. This is the first year you're really ready to go.
Yeah, this is my first camp I'm participating in. You know, I'm excited about it. You know, I feel like I'm coming out here having a great start, so I just got to keep the juice going and get prepared for the season.
What's the best thing about Phillip Rivers as a receiver catching the ball from him? What does he do that you like?
Well, he put the ball where it needed to be. I mean, it don't matter where to defend that. He can put the ball where it needed to be. And I feel like coming in as a young player, you know, I need someone like that who's going to put the ball where I need it to be. I just got to make the plays.
15 years in the league, he's still doing it. Are you amazed a little bit or not?
I'm amazed. I mean, 15 years and just be able to throw the ball how you're throwing it. You know, I'm just grateful for that. So I just got to keep coming out here and just making plays and keep getting confidence in them.
And, you know, you're really lucky if you think about it that the Chargers picked you, because you could have gone to a team that didn't have a quarterback like Phillip Rivers. How does that affect a wide receiver's game?
That's what I wanted. I wanted to come into a place where I had a quarterback who's who's going to give me the ball? You know, I feel like Phillip is that quarterback who know the game, know every defense, and been in every type of situation. So I feel like just coming in as a young player, I needed something like that.
Is this a division for the taking, or you guys have an advantage? It seems like the other teams, you know, got weaker and you guys got stronger, and then you had the great finish of 9-2 at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Is this your division?
Well, I felt like we ended the season pretty well. I felt like we ended on a good note. We just got to keep that juice going into camp and preseason, and hopefully the train keep running at the beginning of the season. So we just got to keep the juice going this fall camp, and everything else fall in place.
People talk about it and say, well, you know, last year was last year. But I think a culture change you can carry over.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like Coach Lynn came in, you know, changed the culture, and we just got to keep that going. He's going to lead us to the victory.
And Coach Lynn, I mean, what a job. When you're 0-4 and you're a first-year head coach, think the wheels could come off very early and players, you know, not feel like you're that guy and question you and all that. He held it together, and then you guys ran off 9 out of 11.
Oh, yeah, we just got to – we believe in Coach Lynn. He believe in us, so we just got to lean on each other and continue to go out here and be our best.
All right, Mike, so now you'll learn that sometimes I ask stupid questions. Now,
right, people, that's your career.
Right.
I mean, you made a career out of it.
Some people will say there are no stupid questions.
No.
But I've made a career out of asking them. So let me ask you a question.
Oh, here we go.
So you're sitting here, and I'm looking at you. And by the way, you're a handsome young man.
All right. Well, what are you talking about, Fred?
Anyway,
why are you making him uncomfortable?
I'm not making you uncomfortable.
Fred.
No. But here's my question. You got a lot of hair. How does that hair fit in the helmet?
I mean, I put it down. I don't wear it up in the helmet. I kind of lay it back, so it's like not really having it like this. So, I mean, it fit pretty good. You know, I had it since college, so it worked.
And when you are in the NFL, and this is true, I believe, they can grab you by the hair.
Oh, yeah, that actually happened last year. You know, I made a little play, and DB grabbed my hair. That was the first time it ever happened, though.
But, really?
Yeah, first time it ever happened. But it don't usually happen, though.
It hurts.
Yeah, it do.
So now your first preseason game is Saturday against the Cardinals. What the first game, what are you looking to do? You just kind of going out there, get a couple of balls, come off uninjured. Is that, you know, how do you?
Yeah, I mean, play a healthy game, you know, go out there, have fun, and just enjoy the game I play. You know, I love this game, so I'm going to go out there and play it the best. You know, I'm going to go out there, when the ball come my way, make the plays, you know, block for the running backs, and just have fun.
Would you rather make a great grab, or would you rather come down the field, catch a linebacker not looking, and just take him out and open it up for the running back?
Both highlights. It don't even matter. Whichever one helps the team, I'm with it.
All right, Rob and I were talking about something. Are you a basketball fan?
Yeah, huge basketball fan. I'm a LeBron fan.
Okay, good. So this is perfect.
Oh, here we go.
We were discussing this.
Here we go.
So Vegas says the Lakers... Well, the point of demarcation is 48.5. 48 and a half wins. That's what Vegas is saying.
If I could walk to Vegas right now and put down a big bundle under, I would do it right now.
Wait, and I would go over.
Yeah,
48 and a half. What do you think?
I'm a LeBron fan, so I always believe in LeBron. So I feel like LeBron and get it done. I mean, you got LeBron, you have a chance.
Thank
you. That's how I feel.
Do you know what I nicknamed LeBron? He's not the GOAT.
Don't.
He's the fofote.
Nah.
Finals failure of all time. He's got six losses in the finals.
LeBron the GOAT. I got to go
no
with LeBron.
GOAT?
He the GOAT.
What are you talking about? Did you ever watch Michael Jordan play, or you just wear sneakers?
I see highlights of him.
Michael Jordan. I covered Michael Jordan. I've been covering the league since 1987.
Well, you're Methuselah. Of course.
I don't care.
He's covered everybody.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan, that's not to take anything away from LeBron. LeBron is a great player.
Yeah.
But you can't be the greatest of all time when you've lost six times in the finals.
I guess, but
right?
You need a little bit of help against the Warriors.
I understand that. He don't have any help out west here, I'm telling you. It's going to be ugly in L.A. He didn't come to L.A. to win championships. He came here.
Will you stop fighting with him? Why are you fighting with Mike?
Mike, you know why he came here?
Why you came here?
He came here. He want to be Meryl Streep. I'm telling you, he wants to be a movie star.
He going to be that regardless.
Don't listen to him. Don't believe him. Mike, thanks for coming over, man. It's great spending some time with you.
Yeah, good luck this year.
Appreciate it.
All right. Mike Williams, Charger wide receiver, having a heck of a camp. Actually, the guy that is standing out during this camp and making people take notice. When we come back, we expect to have Philip Rivers join us, and then we'll ask Philip if he thinks the Lakers will win more than 48 and a half games, which they will.
They won't, Fred.
They will.
Stop it.
Fred Rogan and Rob Parker live in Costa Mesa at AM 570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan and Rob Parker in this week for Rodney. We're live at the Charger training camp in Costa Mesa. Philip Rivers will be joining us sometime this hour. as the Chargers count down to the opening preseason game against Arizona this weekend. Let's get back to the Lakers. And we're talking about the fact that you do not believe these guys are a legit contender in the West.
They're not a contender, Fred. Based on what? You haven't even seen them together. How could you say that they're a contender?
I need one person.
No, you need more than just LeBron. And the Western Conference has got to be more than LeBron.
But the Western Conference is going to see LeBron as LeBron is going to see the Western Conference.
No,
keep that in mind.
No, that's not how it works.
Sure it is.
LeBron struggled last year against Oladipo and the Pacers in seven games. LeBron struggled. I'm talking about his team struggled against the Boston Celtics without their two stars. And it went seven games and he had to win a game seven in Boston. And now all of a sudden you think LeBron's just going to have a cakewalk in the Western Conference? No way, no how, Fred Rogan.
But I'm not saying it's going to be a cakewalk, but I
you're
am saying, saying...
You're saying a fourth? They're going to be a
They're not going
seed?
To beat Utah. LeBron James cannot beat Utah.
No, he can't beat Utah.
You're nuts. LeBron James can't beat Denver.
No.
Oh, well, we'll see.
With that squad that they've put together so far, I'm not buying it, Fred.
You should buy it.
Not yet.
Look.
I need to see more before we get to that point to think that LeBron's going to make that big of a difference in one year.
My money.
He needs another player.
He's got, well, yes, he does, to win a title, not to improve dramatically.
Yeah, but you got him as a fourth seed. I just think that's a pie in the sky. You being an L.A. homer, I get
no,
it.
I get him. I've got them to the second round of the playoffs.
I get them knocked out in the first round.
See, and I don't. I think they win the first round of the playoffs.
If a team that hasn't been in the playoffs in 5 years?
It doesn't matter. It's a new ball game now. Hey, Philip. Philip Rivers has just wandered on over. I'm going to ask Philip. I'm going to start with Philip. Let me ask you a question.
Already going to put him on the spot. What
no.
is he going to say? Of course he's going to say LeBron's going to win.
Wait.
He's an L.A. guy.
We're having a fight. We're having a fight. We're having not a fight. We're having a bit of a disagreement.
A discussion.
Las Vegas says the Lakers over-under on wins this year, 48.5. 48.5 wins. That's the line. I say they'll win more than 48.5. Rob says they will not win more than 48.5 with LeBron. What do you think?
I think they'll win more than 48.
Thank you.
I'll take that
Thank
bet.
You.
They'll win 50 games.
No, 50
Thank you.
Games based
That's
on
what
one.
I said.
Philip, come on. 50 games in the Western Conference?
Oh, yeah. They'll win 50 games.
Wow. You guys are like, y'all all going to be
you.
Disappointed. I'm telling you. LeBron is not going to get it. If he doesn't win a championship his first 2 years, it won't happen here. I told you that. Father Time is undefeated.
Well, you've
Philip
already
Rivers.
Counted him out
no,
in year one. You say he's not won 48 games. So that means he's only got 1 year left to win it.
I tell you, talking about championships, and I know you don't like to go out and project, but boy, on paper, Philip, this team looks awfully good.
We got a chance. We got a chance. And that part is exciting. We know it's a long way off, and we got to keep our head down and work and focus on right now. But it is nice when you go into a year and you go, all right, we're capable. Now, obviously, a lot of things happen. That's a long way from now. But that part does make it exciting when you're starting off a new season.
When you look at the division, most people say it's yours to lose. That it looks like the other teams – maybe didn't help themselves as much, and you guys look like you did, had a really good draft. Do you feel that way at your division?
Well, I mean, we know it starts in the AFC West. What's crazy is, you know, we've lost eight straight to Kansas City. We haven't won the division since 2009. And as our current roster says, I'm the only player that was on that team
Wow.
that's on this team. So it's been a long time. So I don't know that I think we believe we can win the division. I don't know that you can say it's not Kansas City's to lose until they lose one. You know, as of late, Kansas City and Denver's kind of had their hand in the division. But it starts. It's probably said in every building in the NFL, but championships start in the division. And we know that. So that's our number one goal is winning the AFC West. You win AFC West, get you in the tournament, get you a home game. And so, but again, all those things are still far off, I think. I think we really, and I know it's boring, but it's just, let's just focus on right now because usually, you know, at least the past handful of years, there hasn't been much expectation on the outside. We believed it on the inside. It hasn't been much on the outside. Well, now, on the, you know, we hear it too. You know, teams picking, I saw one publication had us picked in the Super Bowl. I mean, it hadn't been like that for a while. But we know it doesn't just happen. So we better make sure we don't pay attention to the noise and get off to a better start. We can't start off 0-4 like last year.
I'm glad you brought that up because my question was about Coach Lynn. And last year, when you're a first-year head coach, you start 0-4, the wheels could come off pretty quickly and people doubt whether or not you're the man for the job. What did he do and how impressive was it to hold it together and then have the strong finish you guys had.
Yeah, I think he deserves a ton of credit for that, helping us weather that storm. We just dealt with the move and the transition mid-offseason, and then you start 0-4. And it was rough, but his steadiness, his message never changed. What he believed was going to be our foundation, our identity, never changed. And I think that was important. And then I think some players, the players in the locker room deserves credit, too, for keeping everybody together. But it started with him, and he didn't blink. And we knew we were close. I mean, we were losing these games. You know, we already know how close those games were.
A couple of kicks, you might have won those games.
We knew we were close, and then it was just a matter of believing. We went to New York and got our first win, and then we kind of got going. So we know momentum. I don't know that momentum goes year to year, but I do think that the way you finished last year, the way we finished, gives you a little energy and a little belief and a little, you know, excitement going into this year. We're not just going to roll out, just keep on the hot streak, but we need to start like we finished.
And that's where I was going to go. Phillip Rivers is our guest here in Costa Mesa. Let me follow that up about momentum. You don't know, really, if it translates year to year, but the way you finished had to give everybody an incredible emotional boost.
It did. You know, it did, and it in some ways it was about as tough of a start to an off season as I can remember. You know, we had some 4-12 years where you've known you've been out of the playoffs for some time, and then we've had some 9-7 years where we were trying to get in, but we were so injured and so banged up that you never believe you're not going to win, but that we probably can't make this run to the championship. You know, but this last year, gosh, if we could have got in, we felt like, hey, we can go make a run at this thing, you know. So that one hurt, but it was nice to finish the way we did, and then to have just about everybody back, add a few pieces, and you know, the one thing we had to keep guys healthy and keep getting better. I mean, we're still over a month out from week one against Kansas City, so we're gonna get our shot. And you know, after they've had their hand with us, they're 8 in a row. We're gonna get our shot here in week one.
Nate Burleson from the NFL Network said you guys have the best receiving core in the NFL. Is he right? And tell me why he's saying that. I mean, it's amazing.
It's an awesome group now. It's such a diverse group. Each guy kind of complements the other guy. You know, they aren't all the same kind of guys. Obviously, we saw the year Keenan had last year, and he's to me put himself in the conversation in the top five receivers in the whole league, for sure. And then you have Travis and Tyrell, and now Mike Williams is coming along, and then we have a handful of others. I don't know how it's going to shake out, but the speed with Travis and Tyrell. And then Mike's size, if Mike can come along like he's shown in training camp the last few days. I mean, you're just talking about they all can do a little bit of everything. And there's a lot of speed between those four, too, and size. So it's an exciting group. I think the thing that's cool about that group, too, is they really love to see each other do good. You know, it's not a Keenan's the guy, and the other guy's like, gosh, are we going to get it? It's no, they all kind of they know their role, and then they pull for each other, you know. And that part of it's cool when you have that in a receiver room.
And the name coming out of camp is Mike Williams. People are talking a lot about him. You said he's looked really good the last couple of days. What is it? Why?
Well, one thing is out here. You know, he had a good offseason. He just needs to be out here every single day. I mean, you think about last year, how much valuable time he missed. It was hard to catch up during the year. And he's just being more consistent. You know, he's one of those guys that you give him a chance up high in space, and then we know he can make those plays, but the more he makes one today, and then he made one yesterday, and then he makes one the day before, then that's how you build that confidence and that belief when you get in the game. You know, it can't just go, hey, give Mike a chance. Well, yeah, I want to, but it's nice when you have 50 to go back and pull in the offseason where you did and he made them, and then it gives you that confidence during the games.
You guys have the first preseason game this Saturday against the Cardinals. What do you look for in a guy who's played 15 years in the NFL? I mean, he's just going out there to just kind of feel like a little rhythm or something? Or it's just,
yeah,
what do you get out of it?
Well, I try to mentally get into that mode of a game, you know, warm-ups and that, and start the game like, here we go, we're playing four quarters, knowing you're not going to be in there a long time. I think I've learned not to overreact to the good or overreact to the bad in these preseason games. You know, we've seen teams that they come out there offensively and they stink it up during the preseason, and then they end up being the best offense in the league, or vice versa. I mean, last year I don't think we threw an incompletion in the first group. we were 8 for 8. We had 2 touchdown drives, and it was, and then we lose the first 4 games of the season. You know, so I mean, I don't overreact, but I think you want to be crisp. No penalties, you know, no pre-snap penalties. You don't want to be sloppy and do those things. It's nice to sustain some drives and just get play together. New center in Pouncey, a couple new guys in there. You know, Mike's going to play something. You know, so Virgil Green, see what it feels like when we're out there together.
I'll give you the perfect preseason football means nothing. When I was in Detroit, the Lions went 4-0. Guess what year that was? The year they went 0-16. They were 4-0. They played great. Everybody was like, okay, this is going to turn it finally. And they went 0-16 that year. So it doesn't really matter.
Well, the run the Colts had all those years with Peyton, they didn't win a preseason game, I think, for years. You know, they didn't. And then they won a 10-plus for about 6, 7, 8 years in a row.
Well, Philip, we appreciate you jumping by. And we know you got to run. Thanks for hanging out with us, man.
Appreciate it.
Anytime.
And you know what? LeBron's not going to win 50 games this year, okay? Remember what I told you, Philip.
I
don't listen to him.
I think they will.
Yeah, I do too. Thanks, Philip. Good guy.
Absolutely.
You can hear the crowd waiting for the quarterback to come by. Thanks again,
Thanks,
Philip.
Yep.
It's
appreciate
very good
it.
Seeing you.
Absolutely. Fun. I mean, 15 years to be able to play and produce that long in the NFL is amazing. It just is. It's a The average career is, what, 3.5 years. And to be able to play that ball, be that durable, and be that, Fred, that consistent is amazing.
Well, the good thing is we've had two players from the Chargers on, both terrific, Philip Rivers and Mike Williams, who, by the way, is going to have a breakout year for the club this year. Both agree with me the Lakers will win more than 48.5 games, and that's all that really matters.
Is that all that matters?
Well, everybody seems to think that, but you. Everybody seems to think the Lakers will win more than 48.5 games than you. You're the only one.
I'm telling you, if you were to ask people to chime in, most don't believe it. And the first phone call might be from Kobe. Thank you.
Petros and Money are giving you the chance to meet Vin Scully, featuring field tickets to see the Dodgers take on the Giants, watch batting practice from the field, and ride in style to the game in a Mercedes-Benz. It's an experience even money can't buy, driven by your Mercedes-Benz dealers of Southern California. Keep listening for details.
Is it real?
They're real, and they're spectacular.
Or fake news?
Fake.
And Real or Fake is brought to you by attorney Joseph S. Normand. If something happens to you, it's not your fault. There's one man you need to call. Don't call the insurance company first. I'm not even suggesting you call your parents, your wife, or your children. You need to call attorney Joseph S. Normand. 866-777-0677. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. All right, joining us today for this edition of Real or Fake, a return appearance by our dear friend, our traffic expert, Diana Olea. Diana, thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure to be with you guys again. Thank you for having me.
You will be competing against Rob Parker. You know the rules.
Let's
begin. Okay, Rob, you ready?
I'm ready. There's no contest here. I'm ready to win.
I don't think you've ever won.
No, I don't think so. I usually suck at this game. I'm sorry.
All right. You didn't do well on TV with it either.
No, that was not good. But people did watch. I got hit up a lot. Everybody saw it.
Did they?
Yes.
I like that.
You know everybody watches your show.
We love that. There's no accounting for taste. Okay.
Okay.
Lance Allworth was the first Charger inducted into the Hall of Fame. Receiver Lance Allworth was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1978. Making him the first Charger and also the first player to have played in the AFL to be inducted. Rob, is that real or fake?
I should know this. I'm going to say it's real.
You're going to say it's real? And did you look at the answer, or are you just saying it's real?
No, I did not look at the answer. I'm going to move over here.
And by the way, Diana, I'm not suggesting he looked at the answer.
I did not look at the answer.
Mm-hmm. I'm just asking, did he look at the answer?
No, I'm going to say it's real.
It's real. Okay. Diana Olea, is it real or fake?
Don't follow me, because you know I've been losing all the time.
I know. I'm going to say it's real.
And you're going to say it's real because?
I don't know. Something just in the instinct said to go for it, so I'm going for it.
You said it's real. You're really right.
Yay! Women's intuition.
Well, that's fine. You did very well there, and Rob, shockingly, actually has one.
There we go. All right. Good night, everybody. The show's over.
Oh, no. We're going to continue. We're going to continue. New Dodger reliever John Axford calls team debut the worst outing of his career. John Axford, the reliever picked up by the Dodgers before the trade deadline last week, was charged with 6 runs in 2/3 of an inning in a rocky team debut this weekend. Axford said afterwards, "It is the worst outing of my entire career. I have a little bit more to offer than what's shown out there." Diana, is that real or fake?
I think that's real. That doesn't, they didn't do so hot, and I could see him, you know, eating a little crow and just and taking responsibility a little bit and just saying, yeah, it's not the best I can do, because it clearly wasn't.
All right, you say it's real. Rob, John Axford said he was horrific. Is that real or fake?
I say it's fake.
You do?
Oh, so, I say it's real then.
No,
should I show my...
No, you said it's fake. Why would you think it's fake? Because he wouldn't say something like that?
Yes, that all right, maybe he didn't pitch well, but to say it was the worst outing ever in his career, that's the part I'm questioning. I'm saying he didn't say that part.
Well, no, you shouldn't question it because it's real.
Very nice.
Hey, Diane, let me ask you a question.
What's that?
So let's say you're sitting at Dodger Stadium.
Okay.
And John Axford is pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, he winds up and he throws the ball. But for some reason, he throws it at a 45-degree angle. It goes right into the crowd and hits you in the nose.
That would not be good.
Is that your fault?
Heck no.
No. That's John Axford's fault. Maybe
Absolutely.
They weren't secure enough there.
Is there
Maybe
someone there you could help me with that, you think?
Yes. Yes. If anything happens to you, there is one man to call. Personal injury attorney Joseph S. Norman.
And what he would do is get you better seats, right? So you wouldn't get hit next time.
Or he'd get you season tickets.
That's it.
866-777-0677. All right, Rob, you're down one. Here we go. Matt Barnes believes Tristan Thompson spread the rumors he hit Draymond Green. During his in-studio interview on this show Friday, former NBA player Matt Barnes confirmed that he heard from Draymond Green himself that he was never hit and actually tried to make peace in his reported confrontation with Tristan Thompson last week. Diana, is that real or fake?
I'm going with the trifecta of true.
You're saying real?
Yeah. He doesn't want any bad blood. I could see trying to make nice.
Okay, so he tried to make nice and said it was real. Rob?
I'm going to say it's fake.
Is there any specific reason for that, Rob?
I don't... Draymond Green's trying to make nice?
Yes.
No, I don't see Draymond Green feeling the need to make nice.
So you're saying it's fake?
Yes.
You got one.
It's all fake news.
Come on.
It's phony stuff.
Draymond Green, what? Make nice? That's not who he is.
Right.
Right?
See, Diana, that's not who he is.
It's not who he is at all.
All right, so you're tied. Johnny Manziel remains optimistic after a poor CFL debut. Making his CFL debut this weekend for the Montreal Alouettes of the Canadian Football League, quarterback Johnny Manziel threw four interceptions in one half before being removed from the game. Manziel said this after the game, "It sucks. Nevertheless, I don't think this defines me coming up here as a CFL player. I don't think one game, good, bad, indifferent, or anything, makes your career." Robbie was terrible. Did he say that? Is it real or fake?
That is real. And the only problem, I got to give him a pass on this, Fred, is he was playing the team he was traded from, so he thought he was throwing to his guys because he had just gotten to Montreal.
You're saying it's real.
I'm saying it's real.
Diana.
Well, I think that he does have to sort of try to justify that, you know, one game doesn't make a man. I'm going to say it's real.
Diana, let me ask you this.
What?
What does make a man?
We don't have all day here, all right? This is a radio show.
I think making a man is taking ownership and taking responsibility and working hard and lots of other good things.
Okay, so you're saying it's real.
I'm saying it's real.
Yes, indeed. He was awful, and you know what? All the people in the NFL will no longer pay attention to him after that. That game will kill him as far as them caring or paying attention to him.
But if he has a couple of good games.
No. That was four interceptions in the first half. Fred, I'm just saying they're not going to pay attention. Had he thrown four touchdowns in the first half, then the scouts will go, we got to go to Montreal to look at him. Do you know what I mean? Now they're not going to be tuned in on him. That's all. I'm not saying he can't make it back.
I'm
but
just surprised we're
in.
Still talking about him.
I know.
All right, you're tied again. You're tied.
How are we tied? I'm ahead.
No,
no,
you're not ahead.
You are not.
No, you're tied. What kind of math are you operating?
I don't know.
Here?
I told you. That's why I took up journalism. No math.
That's a good point. Travis Scott sends shout out to Astros after a 14-0 win over the Dodgers. Houston-based rapper and Kylie Jenner's baby daddy, Travis Scott, whose album Astroworld dropped over the weekend, wrote the following message on Instagram after the Astros beat the Dodgers 14-0. My team must have been listening to Astroworld tonight. Hashtag inspiration. Hashtag back-to-back champs. Rob, is that real or fake?
A rapper on Instagram about a baseball game? I'm going to say no. I just can't. I mean, I know it's a stretch. You're trying to sell tracks and downloads.
Well, everything you're saying would lead you to believe it's true. No. Your explanation would it cause me to say, yes, it's real.
I'm going to say it's false.
You're going to say fake.
I'm just going to say fake.
All right. Diana.
Gosh, I don't know anything about him. I don't really know where he's from. So part of me wants to say that it's fake.
Right.
But another part of me really wants to say that it's real because, I mean, as much as we love the Dodgers, the Astros did spank them this weekend. So
well,
I could see him gloating on that.
Yeah, but the problem here, Diana, the game is not half of me says one thing, half of me says the other. It's what you say, period.
Exactly. Pick a side.
True, true. Okay, I am going to say that it's real.
That's really bad you did that.
It's all fake news.
Come on!
It's phony stuff.
Come on!
Diana, you know what this means?
It means that you'll see me again sometime?
No, you're not done yet.
Oh, okay, good.
But it means the best you can do is tie, and you'll go first.
Okay.
Rob, you will not lose today.
No, I'm winning.
Yeah, but she could tie you.
Mm-hmm. She can't tie me. Who's good? It's her question next, isn't it?
Yes,
right here. I'm going to tie you right here.
Well, whatever she picks, I'm picking, so it doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, then you're going
to
win.
Now, that's a manly thing to do right there. Step up. Step up, Rob.
It's just about winning it. Am I right? Am I not playing it? Why would I? Why? I'm leading. So I'm going to let her beat me?
Well, Diana.
Go ahead, Diana.
You know
what's the question?
There's your definition of a man right there.
There's a man, 100%. Diana, I'm about winning all the time. I want to be on top.
I feel you.
Nursing home escapees found at a heavy metal concert. I got to recover from that.
Say that again?
All right. Nursing home escapees found at a heavy metal concert. You want to be on top, and she feels you.
That's right.
Here we go. A pair of elderly German men escaped from their nursing home to take in some heavy metal music. After the home reported them missing, police found the two at Wacken Open Air, the world's biggest heavy metal festival. A police spokeswoman said they were in a disoriented and dazed state, but nonetheless reluctant to leave. They escaped from a nursing home, were all screwed up at a heavy metal concert. Diana, is that real or fake?
Yes, sir, that is real.
Well, that's it. She just said it was real. Rob?
It's real. I'm going with her. It's real.
And you know what? You went with her, and you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
My turn to be on top.
Oh, you can get on top, too.
Well, Diana, congratulations.
Thank
whether you're
you.
On top or bottom, you lost.
No, I tied. Come on now.
No.
That's why I was hoping.
No, you didn't tie.
Oh,
no.
That's right, because he went after. Oh.
Right.
Shoot. My mouth is as good as his.
Do you know what?
What?
This is not for the millennials, because they don't. But the old Saturday Night Live, when, what was her name? Christine. Who was the woman who ran for president? Ferraro. What was her name?
Christine Ferraro.
You're right.
Geraldine Ferraro.
Saturday Night Live did a skit about it when it announced that she was running, and the whole song was Put a Woman on Top. That was the song. I'm never forget it.
Well, Diana, thank you. Thank you for helping drag the show into the gutter, and thank you for being on the show today. We appreciate it.
And thank you. It was a good time, guys. I appreciate it.
Always.
All right. Hey, if you or a loved one has been in an accident or experienced a personal injury matter, time is not on your side, so calling the law offices of Joseph S. Normand immediately after your accident is the most important thing you can do. Accident victims receive nearly 3 times larger settlements when they have legal representation after an accident. Recent cases settle here in Southern California, slip and fall, $500,000. Auto accident, $7 million. Motorcycle accident, $1.2 million. Joseph Normand is committed to make sure you get the top results for your personal injury matter. If you've been injured, you give him a call. 866-777-0677. 866-777-0677. Schedule your consultation with no obligation, no recovery, no fee. There are no upfront fees. You only pay if we win your case. And if you want a second opinion on your current case, he will be happy to help. Joseph S. Normand, 866-777-0677.
It was awesome kicking Diana's butt in the game.
Well, I don't know who was on top and who was on bottom.
I was on the top. Finally, I got to win.
You get one.
Yes, and I can't wait for it Saturday, the first Chargers preseason game against the Cardinals, right?
Yep, and you'll hear that game on KFI, AM 640. You'll hear all the pregame action and the postgame here on AM 570 LA Sports. You hear the Dodgers right here on AM 570 LA Sports. Not the greatest weekend. Let's just be fair. They did get the last one. Didn't quite go as people had hoped. Rob thinks there's something missing. We'll get into it. Fred Rogan, Rob Parker on AM 570 LA Sports. And this week, Rob Parker sitting in for Rodney. We're down at the Charger training camp in Costa Mesa. Our thanks to the Chargers being so kind, as always. Philip Rivers stopped by, as did Mike Williams. Practice is over, and we will enjoy the sunshine on a beautiful Southern California Monday. So the Dodgers lose 2 of 3 to Houston. I made a terrible mistake going into the weekend, Rob, and I said they are just going to crush them.
Really?
I thought they would crush them. Coming off that win against Milwaukee, I thought this is set to go. The bats are hot. These guys are fired up. They're going to put a whipping on Verlander. They're going to win the second game. Of course, they were trounced 14 to nothing.
Not good.
Not good. And, you know, they've got a great lineup now. They've got a great lineup now.
I love what they've done.
So I couldn't figure out this weekend what happened.
I agree. And what it left me feeling, Fred, just thinking about them, is last year, if you remember, even when they had that, remember they had a terrible slide after the great run and they won all those games. What, they win 50 out of 70 or something? It was like unbelievable. And then they had the bad stretch. And even during that bad stretch, I still said I was picking them to go to the World Series. There was a feel about them. I liked what they had. And they wound up going and they went 7 games and didn't win. But this year, even though I like the moves that they've made, I love Machado.
Dozier.
Right? Dozier, who's a big-time home run hitter and, you know, a good player, played with the Twins and made the playoffs, all that. I don't feel the same way. I'm not convinced that they're going to the World Series. I'm not saying they're not going to make the playoffs. I'm just saying I'm not as convinced as a year ago.
Can you put your finger on it?
I don't know if it's I guess so many changes have been made. Do you know what I mean? And so many injuries and so many that this isn't the same team from a year ago. Is that fair?
Oh, yeah, it's fair. Of course it's fair. But what seems odd to me, when they picked up Machado after the All-Star break,
right,
and they opened in Milwaukee, that series, and I looked at them and I thought, this team's got some swagger now. These guys look like, get out of the way, here we come.
And Milwaukee's good.
So I'm thinking to myself, all right, and just watching them, observing them, they seem different. It's like they seem bigger.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I understand, yeah.
And this weekend against Houston, they seemed like little tiny.
Seemed small.
Yeah. And I couldn't figure out what it was. You know, everybody's talking about the bullpen. They need help there. Look, as this thing continues down the road and guys come off the DL and guys get healthy, they're going to be fine in the bullpen. I'm not even concerned about that. I was concerned that they didn't hit as well. I was also concerned there was a game against the Astros, I think the Friday game, that they didn't start Dozier. They played the matchup game. And maybe when you get to this point and you've got this kind of roster, and I understand the analytics, I get it. I also know that Dave is involved with Farhan and Andrew. They collaborate on the lineup. So it's not just Dave Roberts. Everybody talks about it.
No, that's how it works now in baseball.
Right, everybody talks about it.
All those managers who do it themselves, they're not managing anymore.
So it's a collaborative effort, and you know they're playing the odds. They're playing the numbers. They're playing the probabilities, but I don't know. And I'm not saying that it's not successful, but when you've got this kind of lineup, Dozier's got to be playing every day.
Just put him out there, right?
Machado's got to be playing every day. I don't care who the pitcher is at this point.
I'm with you, especially both of those guys. Both of those guys are bona fide every day, get them in the lineup and let them do their thing kind of guys. And you obviously got them for a reason, right? So I agree with you. But then you don't want to burn people out, and you want to get other people in the mix because you're going to have to use them down the road. So you don't want utility guys to sit there for 10 days and not get any at-bats. So I get that part of it, but I'm with you, Fred. I just want to see them play every day.
And I don't think we really know where Justin Turner is yet. He's back. That's the good news. But how effective and efficient is he right now? I mean, look, he's been out so many times this year, it's as if every time he comes back, he's in spring training.
Right, just starting over.
Right.
Right.
So I don't know really where he's at yet, how much of an impact he's going to make yet.
He went down with that wrist injury. It's like you didn't expect him to come back as the hitter he always was, but you expected some contact and some production, and he's giving us a little bit. But this groin injury is a day-to-day thing.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that doesn't heal until we take some time off.
It doesn't heal. It's always there, and from people I've talked to, players who have it, they just say it's always there. It's gnawing at you the whole time. You know what I mean? So that's a tough spot to be in. It's going to be interesting to see. It looks like the American League is loaded. It's going to be a hard playoff. But in the National League, I don't feel that way. But I don't know. I just think that can the Dodgers get back to the World Series the second year? Can they?
Yeah, I think they can. But I have a more pressing concern.
What's that?
And I don't think people realize this. But when I said it on TV, I thought, and I do this every day, so the Dodgers are tied with Arizona in first place. I thought, tied with Arizona? Weren't they way ahead of Arizona all of a sudden? How are they tied with Arizona? The first thing the Dodgers have to do is win the West.
Right.
That's the number one objective
here. Which they've won the last 5 years.
Right, and you have to believe they're going to do it. But you can't sit here and assume, oh, my God, when we get to the postseason, win the West.
Right.
Let's worry about that first.
Well, remember, if you don't win the West, what happens? You're in a one-game wild card. And your whole season could go up in smokes with a bad outing or error or something.
Well, ask you, Darvish. He'll tell you one bad outing.
Why do you keep blaming you, Darvish?
You just talked about one bad outing.
But he's not the reason they lost the World Series.
I don't want to get into this. I'm not doing it. It's ancient history, and everybody knows the reason. And it was you, Darvish. So it doesn't matter what you think. It's you, Darvish. Rob, that's it.
What about the whole you, Darvish? You probably... his agent didn't call to complain about you, but he was mad at Alex Rodriguez. Did you see that? Yeah, Alex, I guess, said something about the locker room because Yu Darvish is hurt or whatever, you know, and feeling it with the Cubs or whatever. And his agent went after A-Rod, like, you know, and said it wasn't fair and it was mean-spirited or whatever.
Was it true?
And wanted an apology. I thought it was – it was a little inside. You know, that's what they hire A-Rod to do now, right? And it was a little inside of probably how some players are feeling in the clubhouse. Like, they probably told Alex were frustrated about him, you know, and he went with it, and the agent wasn't happy. So I was right.
Yeah, 5 in a row.
Yeah, well, the agent wasn't happy, but none of us were happy with what happened last year. So you know what? Now he can feel a little pain.
Okay, I'm just saying.
The agent can feel a little pain because we all lived it.
He's got that big contract with the Cubs. He'll be just fine.
Yeah, he'll be just fine. All right. Well, by the way, I do want to point out I got a tweet here. You know, we came on the air talking about Vegas having the Lakers as the 4 seed.
Yes.
48.5 over, under. Where do you fall in? You fall in under. I fall in over. That dude Chris tweets, tell me to shut up about the Lakers. This is the Clipper station. How many games do you think the L.A. Clippers will win this year?
Is it what's the over, under, 25? No, I'm just kidding. But some people think like the Clippers.
Well, nobody's saying you can't like the Clippers, but you just have to understand, whether we're the Clipper station or not, we have a responsibility to talk about what people are talking about.
This is L.A. Sports, 570 L.A. Sports, right?
Right, we have that responsibility. Okay. And if more people, which they are talking about LeBron and the Lakers, which they are, then we're going to talk about that. You know, it's simple. You're navigating, we just drive.
Absolutely.
And that's how this game works. So yeah, the Clippers are fine, and they're going to grow, and next year there will be growing pains, and they will be virtually invisible.
They have a 35.5 underdog. Sorry, 35.5 is the over-under.
On the Clippers, what do you think?
So I think that's probably about right, and they basically flip-flop spots with the Lakers, who won 35. They won 35, right, or something like that. Yeah,
they did.
So basically that's what's happened here.
I mean, and the thing about the Clippers, if you're a Clipper fan, God bless you, that's great. You also have to understand they are virtually invisible now. When the Lakers signed LeBron James, it basically vaporized the Clippers in the market. That doesn't mean you can't like the Clippers, but you just have to be realistic about the situation.
And the Clippers had L.A. when L.A. was down, and they had a chance, right? And they were making
runs.
It was their moment, and they never could get there. And that's like that window that opens up, and you got to take advantage of it. I remember in New York where people, you know, everybody thinks it's all Yankees, right, with the history. But in those 80s, when the Mets won in 86 and whatnot, they ran the back pages because they had better personalities. Strawberry, Gooden, David Cone, you know, and all those guys. So their window opened up. They won, though. The Clippers, on the reverse, when their window opened up, they didn't get it done.
It's got exactly right. And Matt Barnes was on with us on Friday, and we asked him the question, and he said it was because of their egos. They were the best team in the league, and they actually were the best team in the league. But the players, in essence, couldn't get out of their own way, and that's what doomed them. They doomed themselves, and that's sad. To know that you are the very best, to know that you could do something no other Clipper team has ever done, and to know you could win a title as an individual player, and to sabotage yourself due to egos actually makes it worse.
It does, because those opportunities – people think, okay, it didn't work this year, we'll be back next year. It doesn't work like that. Sometimes you only have a small window to be able to jump in, Fred, and then you know what? They blew it. And I don't know. I don't know if that's going to open up again for them.
Poppycock. That was the word the Angel manager used. Poppycock.
I thought he used to play for the Red Sox, no?
No. We'll get into it. Fred Rogan, Rob Parker, AM 570 LA Sports. And good afternoon once again from Costa Mesa, the Charger training camp. Rob Parker in for Rodney this week. We're at camp, and we're the only ones at camp.
Everybody's gone? Are they all gone?
Yep, everybody's gone. Well, a few people are still here, cleaning up, getting organized. Somebody driving around out there.
What's he doing? Is that Eddie Albert mowing the lawn or whatever, the grass?
No one remembers your reference to Green Acres. Farm living is a life for me.
That's right.
With Ava Gabor. No, Rob, nobody remembers that.
That show was so bizarre, Fred. Have you ever watched the reruns?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, Rob, I have.
Is that not like, they must have been on Quaaludes or something, whoever put that together. It's like the most bizarre show ever.
Why, they moved from New York City to a farm.
No, but if you go just listen to the dialogue, it doesn't make any sense. It's like, Eddie Albert must have laughed his way all the way to the bank and just like, what is this?
And that was a hit.
Right. It was a big hit for what, CBS?
Yeah.
Big hit
back in the day. Anyway, we're out here. Eddie Albert is not. We had Philip Rivers and Mike Williams on the show earlier. Over the weekend, there was a story, and it caught my attention, and I looked at the alert, and it said Mike Socha has decided that he is not going to return to the Angels after this season. It will be 20 years that he has managed the Angels. Then the next day, Mike Socha says, poppycock. Nothing has changed. I told you in October this would be discussed after the season. So nothing has changed, and I don't know where that came from.
Well, all I know is Ken Rosenthal is the one from The Athletic and Fox Sports who broke that story, and Ken Rosenthal is one of the best baseball writers in the country and is great at breaking news. So I'm going to sit here and tell you, if you ask me which guy I believe Ken Rosenthal. And Mike Socha, first of all, can I say this, Fred?
Sure.
It shouldn't be up to him whether he wants to quit or retire or whatever he wants to do. The Angels should fire Mike Socha at the end of this year. Period. The last time Mike Socha was good, sports writers were using typewriters. That's how long it's been. I mean, they won in 2002. It's 2018. And it doesn't mean that he can't manage. He just can't manage here anymore. Go somewhere else. That people have probably tuned him out over the years. And he's going to wind up. I want everybody to remember that poppycock statement. he'll wind up just like the coach of the Arizona Cardinals, who said the same exact thing. Remember he said it was fake news, he had a press conference, they said he was going to step down at the end of the year, and what did he do after the season? He stepped down after saying the story wasn't true. This story, I buy it, and if it isn't, then the ownership of the Angels should fire Mike Socha. Enough already.
You know, a synonym for poppycock is balderdash.
Balderdash.
Maybe he could have said that. Let me tell you a story about
balderdash.
The Angels. Balderdash. Nuts.
What year is this? 1875? What is this?
Let me tell you a story. Years ago, Cookie Rojas was the manager of the Angels. I find out that the Angels are going to fire Cookie Rojas.
And you got a good source. You know it's true.
I found out.
Okay.
Yeah, it was true.
Right.
Now, this was during the season, I find out they're going to fire Cookie Rojas.
So you go on the air on KNBC and you go.
I go on that night and I go, well, the Angels are going to fire Cookie Rojas. I just went out with it. Not exactly sure when, but they're going to make a move and they're going to fire him. So now I'm driving home from work. So it's about 11:45 at night. And my phone rings in the car. But back in the day, you know, you didn't have these portable phones that were like giant bricks attached to your car.
Exactly. Right? It was in a bag, right? You had to walk around with it.
One of those.
Right.
So anyway, I answer the phone. And on the phone is the general manager of the Angels, Mike Port. He says to me, where did you find out? And first he said, why did you go on the air and say Cookie Rojas was going to get fired?
Because I know it to be true.
I said, because he is. He goes, well, where did you find that out? And I said, well, I found out.
You're not going to give up your source. What does he think you're, like a junior journalism person? You know what I mean? Like, you want to know who it is so you can go and, fire that guy? Come on.
All right. So he says, all right, well, I'll come clean with you. I'll tell you. Cookie Rojas is going to get fired.
Wow.
He said, but he's not getting fired now. We don't really know when we're going to do it, but he's done. He said, but unfortunately, we can't allow that statement you make to stand.
Right.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to tomorrow.
We're going to call a press conference or something.
We're going to deny it.
Right.
We're going to tell everybody we have no idea where you got that from. We're going to tell everybody that you made it up or you created it.
Right. Rogan's not credible. He made up this story. It's not true.
Right. We're going to tell everybody that tomorrow, but you're right.
Wow.
And I went, okay. And you know when they did it? During the 88 Olympics. I was in Seoul and I got the call. Cookie Rojas has been fired.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I understand oftentimes you find stuff out you're not supposed to know. And if you go with it and you believe your source, the organization, because they're not ready to announce it, just because you found out doesn't mean they're ready to announce it.
But that's what it's called, journalism. That's what we do, right? We dig, we scratch, we ask questions. People give us information, right, that they find out because they can't hold it. And, you know, no one just finds that out and doesn't do anything. They're like, I got to tell somebody. I got to tell somebody who could do something about it. I'll tell Fred. I'll tell Rob. I had stories all the time. And the same thing, I would get, no, it's not true or whatever, whatever, and then it would happen. So that's why when I hear.
Give me one.
The pushback. I guess the Lions at the time, right, the Lions. We're going to cut Charlie Batch.
Who was their quarterback?
Who was their starting quarterback. So, of course, stripped across A1 of the Detroit News was that Charlie Batch was going to get cut.
And you wrote this?
And I wrote it.
All right.
And, you know, the Lions had no comment or whatever. I'll give them credit. They didn't deny it, but they wouldn't, like,
confirm it. Well, if they
and
if
guess
they're not
going
to deny it.
Charlie Batch got cut.
Right, because if they're not going to deny it, they've confirmed it.
They basically have, right. Because if they really didn't think so, or unless he like that GM talked to you, they look stupid if they go on. That's why I thought I don't know why I can't remember the Cardinals coach's name.
Not Denny Green.
No. The one who just. Bruce Arians. I'm sorry. Bruce Arians. He looks stupid to me when you tell people that this is fake news. It's not true. You know what I mean? And make a big scene about it. And then you step down just like the story said you were at the halfway point. So same thing here. I believe that Socha, this will be it. I mean, it's just 20 years as a major league. You know how long? And then you won in 2002. It's been a long time coming. Joe Girardi just got fired or didn't get renewed by the Yankees, they were one game away from making it to the World Series instead of the Astros, right? And he had won a championship much more recent than
Socha.
So I could see if he can get fired, don't tell me that Mike Socha after 20 years can't get fired. I believe that's a true story.
Well, and the other side of it is, I mean, you can make the argument, fair or unfair, that he has been hampered by injuries.
No doubt.
And you could make the argument that he's done a very good job of managing through all those injuries.
Very nice. You're right.
So if you're the Angels and you look at it and you go, you know, we just haven't given the guy the horses.
But he hasn't won in almost 20 years, in 18 years or whatever. It just comes a time, Fred, where you got to look. Maybe they're not listening to him anymore. And, yes, you're right. There have been injuries or whatever. That's a part of the game, a lot of that stuff. A lot of people go through injuries, and you just have to play through them. But it's been a long time since the Angels have been really good, and I just think it might be time to bring a new voice in. I just think he's stale. That's all.
All right, when we come back, LeBron James v. President Trump. We've got to touch on that. And by the way, keep listening during the break because we've got something for you.
And Trump said, what, Don Lemon's the dumbest man on TV? I think he's wrong.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Who's dumber?
There's a couple guys.
Fred Rogan and Rob Parker on AM 570 LA Sports. Yeah, I'm here. I'm happy to be here. All right, Rodney's off this week. Rob Parker is sitting in. Let's get out to Whittier. Luke, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Well, good news for you, my friend. You have won a pair of tickets to see the Dan Band live at San Manuel Casino on Friday, August 17th.
Wow.
Keep listening for your chance to win tickets to see the Dan Band live. This comedy band will have you rolling with laughter on the Rock and Brew stage inside San Manuel Casino, Friday, August 17th. You good with that, Luke?
Yeah, it sounds fun.
Cool. Congratulations. Mazel tov.
And thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. So anyway, Donald Trump in the news with LeBron James. Hard to imagine that LeBron opening a school and giving back to the community.
Right. With his own money.
With his own money could turn into negative tweets. And LeBron was on with Don Lemon from CNN. The president thinks Don Lemon is the stupidest person on the planet.
Right. Dumbest man on TV, I think is what he said. Right.
Quoted dumbest him. Man on TV. And then he took a shot at LeBron as well.
Right. And then he said, I like Mike. Which is the debate about the Jordan or LeBron situation.
By the way, isn't it Be Like Mike?
Yeah.
And it's I Like Ike.
Yeah,
the 1950s, right?
Yeah, it is. I want to be like Mike. But I think he didn't put Jordan's name, which was kind of surprising. I don't know how many characters he had left, but he said I Like Mike. I don't know. I'm bothered by it.
Well, I'm bothered by it, too. Look. We're not going to take a political stance
here. No.
This
not
is not
all.
A political show.
We're not talking politics.
But I have to tell you, that for the president
to be involved in that, it's so beneath him and so petty, isn't it? Even as president, even if people come out and say things against you, you expect it with the office. Am I right? You can't be that thin-skinned when you're the ruler of the free world. People are going to throw stones at you. You have to be above it, right? Not you don't get in the gutter with other people, even if they call your names. And LeBron called him a bum before. You remember when about the invitation he pulled back from the Golden State Warriors, and the Warriors said they weren't going anyway. So how can you pull back something that we weren't going to? And LeBron called him a bum. I'm never good about name calling. We could disagree to disagree, Fred. You know what I mean?
And we have.
And we have, and we can argue. But once we get into name-calling, then all bets are off.
That reminds me of the time that there was some name-calling when you were on with Rick Barry. Do you remember this?
I wasn't name-calling. Was Rick name-calling?
Let's hear.
Rick, you got to stop.
You got to stop because you don't know the game.
If you
don't know the game, and you should be ashamed of yourself.
Rick, I'm not. No. I've been covering basketball forever.
I don't care how long you've been covering it. You didn't play the game. And if you make that
Rick,
comment, you
and
don't
you know,
know
what?
The game.
And Rick, you don't know radio, and you don't know journalism.
No, I know radio.
No, you
I've
don't.
Done radio for
no,
years.
You don't.
Four,
you're a basketball player.
You have.
You guys kill me. It's always the same thing. You didn't play basketball, so you don't know basketball.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly
that's
right.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous, Rick.
That's your excuse
respect
that you're going
to
go
no,
and wail
respect
about
journalism
that
and respect
that,
that people.
You're a loser.
No,
forget it.
No, you are. You're a loser, Rick. Hang up on him. Thanks for calling.
You're a loser.
I lost it when he said that. Am
you're
I right?
A loser. You're a loser. What are you guys, eight? You're a loser. No, you're a loser.
He's 75 years old calling me a loser. Name calling.
You're a loser.
No,
forget it.
No, you are. You're a loser, Rick. Hang up on him.
But Willard didn't hang up, did he?
No. You know, Mark, like, oh, I don't want it to go like that. Go to his. I was like, dude, I'm sorry. If someone's going to disrespect, now, if I was in that control thing, I would have hung up on him. If somebody would have called up and disrespect you and I'm on the show, it wouldn't happen. Because I just don't believe in that. We could disagree. He could say that from the way he played in the NBA, and I get all that. I never said I know basketball. He played in the league. He was a star, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. But that doesn't mean that just because other NBA players who we talked to, right, said that they thought it was a bad play for LeBron to give up the basketball in that situation. If you remember, the Cavaliers were up already by two. He had Draymond Green in the paint in front of him, right, where he could have got Draymond Green's sixth foul. They didn't need a three. They're up two with the basketball. You don't need a three. And that's why I didn't like the play.
And I liked the play.
I didn't like it, but other NBA players who played in the league, just like Rick Barry, said they didn't like the play. So it's not like it's cut and dry. To me, math is the only thing we can't debate. Two and two is four, no matter who's doing the math. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Everything else is up for debate. Everything.
Well, I thought he made the right pass, by the way. I thought it was an unselfish play,
but I just,
and he went to the open man. In any event, I don't know why Rick Barry had to call you a loser.
Unbelievable.
But that gets back to LeBron and the president.
Right.
And the name calling. And it's hard for me to believe that a man who has just spent money to open a school for kids and gets nothing in return.
Nothing.
Other than opening a school.
In his hometown of Akron, Ohio, and underprivileged kids and people who need help. You know what I mean? This isn't like you open up a privileged thing and you're making money off the school and only the upper crust are going to the school. These are the people who need it most. And he should be praised for it and to be taken to task over it and to be ridiculed by the president is just ridiculous. There's got to be bigger fish to fry than ripping on LeBron James.
I do want to say that earlier that dude Chris tweeted when we were talking about the Clippers. And he wanted to know why we weren't talking about the Clippers and how many games they would win. And Vegas has them at 35. He says they're going to win at least 45 games.
Oh, really?
The Clippers.
Are they moving to the Eastern Conference or something that we don't know about?
I think they'll be in Charlotte now.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're moving east.
45 games? I'll bet them 100 chicken wings.
They can't win 45
games. 45 games? I can't see that. Not in the Western Conference.
And you know, I know Jerry West is going to do a good job of reconstructing that club. And he will. And after this year, they'll have cap space because they've now been able to rid themselves of all of the albatross. Chris Paul, like him or not, his time was up.
No,
it didn't work.
Blake?
Blake Griffin, a terrible signing.
You knew it was bad the day they signed that contract.
Oh, absolutely.
You? That was one.
I said it.
That was a first guess. That wasn't the second guess.
Yeah.
That was the first
guess. That was a terrible decision. Made for the wrong reasons, but they were able to rid themselves of that. Now DeAndre Jordan, thankfully, they were able to move DeAndre. And we like DeAndre, but he wasn't going to help them. They need to spend that money elsewhere. So now, after this season, they'll have room. They'll be able to go out and really start putting a team together that will be competitive.
And I think that as much as people think that Kawhi Leonard is automatically coming to the Lakers, I think they're making a big mistake when they believe that. I think that there's just as good of a chance of him winding up with the Clippers. Remember I told you that.
You did.
I do not believe that it's a layup that he's going to the Lakers. LeBron, for all being this great player, the best player on the planet, players don't seem to want to play with LeBron. It's just a fact. He has not been able to get guys to A. When he was in Cleveland, nobody wanted to come play with him, right? He had to go to Dwayne Wade's team, and Chris Bosh wanted to go to Miami, and LeBron was going there. But Chris Bosh would not go to Cleveland, and he's never been able to get somebody. And then Kyrie Irving walked from him. And then you had Paul George with the opportunity to come home. LeBron's in the fold, and he didn't want to be a part of it or be a part of LeBron and the Lakers. And to tell you how serious it is, he wouldn't even take a meeting with Magic Johnson. Like a meeting? Really? Like, to come play in your hometown with the best player on the planet? It's not even worth listening to a meeting about what they were going to do?
See, I find something wrong with guys that don't want to play with him. Because when you play with him, you automatically have a chance to win.
Well, what do you get from it? Because when LeBron wins, it's all about LeBron. And when LeBron loses, it's he doesn't have anybody and everybody else are bums. That's what it is. It's never about anybody else. That's why people don't want to play. What do you get out of it?
You get to win.
No, it's LeBron's show. And that's why I respect Kyrie Irving for walking away. Everybody said, oh, he's making a big mistake. How can you walk away from LeBron James? He wants to be his own man. And he said, I'm good. I'm not going to be the whipping boy of LeBron James. That's what's happened with LeBron. And I'm telling you, I'm going to sit here again. You remember at the end of Kobe's career, nobody came to the Lakers. They had money. Didn't they have money for free agents? Nobody wanted to play with Kobe. He became insufferable. Go look at Dwight Howard, gave up $30 million.
Thankfully, he did.
Probably a loser.
but Fred, who gives up $30 million? He wanted to get away from Kobe so bad he gave up $30 million to go to Houston.
But
it's unheard of.
Yeah, but that's not a guy you would even want on your team.
Probably a loser.
No, but it tells you how bad the Kobe situation is what I'm telling you.
But LeBron's situation is not parallel to Kobe's.
No, all I'm saying is it does happen where you get it where people don't want to play with you. That's all I'm saying. Kobe is Exhibit A. Hey, you're coming to Los Angeles. You're playing for a storied franchise. You're playing with one of the all-time great players. How do you mean you don't want to come here? Right?
Right.
I'm telling you, I'll be shocked if they were able to get a big-time player to join LeBron.
Next year. Next year, that will happen. But now, it's time for Good Call, Bad Call.
It's time for Good Call.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Bad Call.
I may have to hang up on him.
And listen, the San Manuel Casino Rock and Brew National Touring Artist Series presents the Dan Band. He performs August the 17th. For tickets, you visit sanmanuel.com. Must be 21. The Dan Band at San Manuel. Come on now.
All right, guys, you are broadcasting live from Chargers training camp. You had Mike Williams and Philip Rivers on earlier. So, in response to a question you did ask him, is it a good call or bad call to say the Chargers have the best receiving core in the NFL? That is what NFL Network analyst Nate Burleson said yesterday. You have Keenan Allen, Tyrell Williams, Mike Williams, who, of course, we spoke with earlier, and Travis Benjamin. Maybe rivaled by guys in the Steelers. You have Antonio Brown, Juju Smith. The Texans have DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller and others. Do you agree? Good call or bad call to say the Chargers have the best receiving core in the NFL, Fred?
I'll say it's a good call. And I agree. Now, I have the benefit of talking to someone that really knows, Philip Rivers. And as he described this receiver core, a couple of things come to mind. First, they're all different. They all do different things. And the addition of Mike Williams, he can go up and get the high ball because he's so big.
That dude is so big.
Right. So he's and what a nice guy. So they've got somebody who's huge. They've got everybody that's fast. And the key for me was Philip Rivers saying, and there's no jealousy. They all pull for each other. They all want the best for each other. And if they're all that good and they all pull for each other, that tells me they are the best receiving corps.
How about you there, Rob?
You know what, Kev? Nate Burleson's been around, a receiver. I think he's a straight shooter, and I don't think there's any, like, favoritism on why he would pick the Chargers. And I think you brought it up too, Fred. Williams is like a new draft pick. So I'm going to go. It's a good call with the Chargers. I really am. I think they got a special group here and have a chance to do something special.
What do you want to bet Vic says it's a good call?
I think Vic is going to say it's a good call.
All right.
Vic?
It's a good call.
Yeah, there you go.
See?
If I can...
It's always a good call.
If I can quote the fabulous Philip Rivers, shoot, if Mike Williams stays healthy, we're going to be out of sight. They do have such a deep core, but Philip gets his protection as he did last year when they had the fabulous finish. How are you going to guard the Bolts offense? It's so multidimensional. The good running attack. But basically, it's all about the O-line, giving Philip time, because those receivers will get up and get it. It's a sensational array at Phillips' disposal.
Speaking of receivers, good call or bad call for the Pro Football Hall of Fame to create a, quote, Terrell Owens rule. Now, according to multiple sources, the Hall of Fame is considering a requirement that candidates for enshrinement commit to showing up for the Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony before the selection committee actually makes its final choices. The Hall of Fame voters want an advanced screening of the candidates, along with a commitment that they will indeed show up for the festivities.
Where are we, in Russia? What is this?
This is what they're asking for, Rob. So is it a good call or a bad call for the Pro Football Hall of Fame to basically force future enshrinees to show up to the ceremony, or else they will not be enshrined? I'll start with you, Rob.
Bad call. It's the most ridiculous thing. Whether or not someone's going to go shouldn't be the reason you vote for them or not. It should be what they're going to do on the field. If I feel like I want to protest a moment, or I don't want to go, or I couldn't get an Uber in time, or I had diarrhea that day and I didn't want to stand there.
Yeah. You don't have to continue.
I'm just saying, that's my call if I want to go or not. You can't tell me I have to go. No.
How about Fred? You, Fred?
I think it's a sad call, but a good call.
No, it's not, Fred. I don't believe you're saying that.
No, I think it's a sad call, but a good call.
So if I'm sick and I have to wear Depends throughout the whole ceremony, is that what you're saying?
You're not sick and you're wearing them now. So why is that an issue? You showed up here, didn't you? That was unnecessary. I think this. Being enshrined in the Hall of Fame in any specific walk of life is the ultimate tribute or honor. And if you choose not to go, then I think you are snubbing your nose at the entire process.
But isn't this America?
Yeah, then you're not in.
Why, Fred?
I think
it's supposed to be about what I did between the white lines.
Right, and you know
so
what?
You
we've
should
acknowledged
vote me.
That.
All we, right, but that's
I
fine.
Rob, what you've done, I acknowledge. You're terrific.
Yes, but that's fine. But I still, if I didn't want to go pick up my award in Detroit, that was my business. They still should have named me Sports Journalist of the Year. I did go because I love the organization.
Yes, and that was an incredible honor, which we will talk about. But there is more to the Hall of Fame and everything that surrounds it than just what you did on the field. It's the next step. That gets you to the Hall of Fame. I think it's sad it's come to that, but I think you should be there if you are enshrined.
I think it's un-American and the most ridiculous thing I ever heard.
What do you say, Vic?
The tragic call. Obviously, the farce that was T.O. at UT Chattanooga maybe influenced the minds, but how influenced this? Why is Jerry Kramer almost dead and you finally vote him into the Hall of Fame, one of the greatest offensive linemen in the history of the game for the Green Bay Packers? You're lucky to have Kramer on the podium. You know, do your due diligence with Hall of Famers. To me, you can't let someone wait 30 years to get into the Hall of Fame. And if they can't make it, they can't make it. It's their freedom.
Up.
That's their choice. If they can't make it, you know, for health reasons or whatever, they still should be enshrined. But the Jerry Kramer farce, he should have been in the first vote.
We this country, I don't know where I'm living now. Is this occupied France or Russia or what? The idea that you're going to legislate what I have to do or how
to
I'm feeling?
To get into the Hall of Fame.
No, that shouldn't be a part of it. It's supposed to be you one of the greatest players who ever played the game. That's the only criteria, not whether or not I'm going to show up or what suit I'm going to wear or what woman I'm going to bring with me. Come on, it's the most ridiculous thing. It's arrogant. It's un-American. It's terrible.
If you are dead, you don't have to show up.
Is that the only reason I don't have to show up?
That's right.
Someone who showed up in grand fashion was Ray Lewis this past weekend. Good call or bad call for Ray to skip the podium and have his own microphone at the Hall of Fame. Of course, he came outfitted with his own microphone, looking like he was doing a TED Talk or something, shunned the podium, and proceeded to present a 33-minute long sermon that many people enjoyed, others not so much. They thought he maybe showed up the ceremonies by having to be different, being the last presenter. Good call or bad call for Ray Lewis to skip the podium for his own personal microphone. Fred.
I think it's a fine call.
Oh, Fred, stop.
No, and I'll tell you why. Everything has changed now, Rob. It's not the way it used to be.
See, you wanted everything to be uniform. Now you're letting him do a sermon, a 33-minute sermon.
You could stop listening at some point. You got to walk out if you wanted to. But look, you have football players arriving to training camp in helicopters now. That never happened in the past. Everybody's got their own personal brand, and it's the kind of image that you can portray and the lasting impression you leave with people. I think it's fine. And by the way, if you're bored 20 minutes in, 10 minutes in, get up and leave. It's just like any show.
Bad call. Okay. Come on, man. I mean, it did show up everybody else, 33 minutes or whatever. And this is my problem with the NFL, with the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Everything's cool. You know, T.O.'s the worst guy in the world because he wanted the football. But I don't know. Ray Lewis, wasn't he involved in a double murder case?
I seem to remember.
Wasn't Lawrence Taylor pulled out of crack houses to play football for the Giants during his day? That's okay. Oh, yeah, as long as they play football on Sunday. But this guy who wanted the football is the worst man on the planet. Is that where we are? Come on. Ridiculous.
What do you say, Vic?
Brilliant call by Ray Lewis. When he brought up Jonathan Ogden to do the Ray ritualistic psychotic dance, loving that. Loving that he was Ray Lewis. This is who he is. He is flamboyant. He's inspirational. His 33 minutes for me was pure Ray Lewis bliss. I'm a Ray fan. Obviously, off the field stuff does not enter into the equation. And his on the field heroics and motivational speeches and how he just got into everyone's face. It was beautiful. Ray Lewis was beautiful.
Hey, Vic, those dance moves got Soul Train canceled.
Oh.
Don Cornelius gave him the seal of approval.
I just love how he said, I still kiss my kids on the mouth. And his son's like, man, nah, he lying. He up there lying right now. That was one of the highlights for me.
Wouldn't you say that? I know. How old is his son?
His son's like, at least like teenagers, like 17 and 14, something like that.
Fran, you don't kiss your son in the mouth. He's in college.
No, I don't kiss my son in the mouth.
No.
No.
I think there's something wrong with that. Don't you?
That's Ray being Ray.
No, there's nothing wrong. I'm just saying you can show affection. I think a man showing affection for his son is beautiful. A kiss in the mouth is inappropriate.
All right, more NFL now. Good call or bad call for Kelvin Benjamin to take shots at Cam Newton. Now, former Panthers receiver Kelvin Benjamin had an interview with The Athletic this past weekend, and he says that if you would have put him with a different quarterback, things would have been much different in his career arc to this point in time. He says things were bad from the get-go with Cam Newton. He now plays for the Buffalo Bills, was traded last season. Cam Newton kind of blew it off and just says, next question, essentially, at his press conference earlier today. Good call or bad call for Kelvin Benjamin to take shots at his former quarterback, Cam Newton. Rob Parker.
Bad call. Dude, just wash your hands of, you know, what went on down there and move forward. Hello, is this Michael on? Cam Newton did win an MVP. Do you remember the year he had? And they ran up, they were 15-1. I know he laid an egg in the Super Bowl, but don't act like the guy is a terrible quarterback and never performed well. I just think it's sour grapes. It comes off as sour grapes to act as if his life was totally hell with Cam Newton at quarterback.
What about you, Fred?
It's a bad call.
Come on.
It's a bad call. That's why he is a former Carolina Panther.
Exactly. Go to Buffalo
receiver.
And stink it up.
Right, and go freeze in Buffalo. You can't. Come on, man. You don't do that when you leave. Because also, you don't know when you need a job.
Right.
I'll tell you one place you're not going. Carolina.
And you don't know about the people in Carolina who might be somewhere else and you're trying to get there. You don't know.
Just a bad call.
How about you, Vic?
Nice and bitter call by Benjamin. If you had a problem with Cam Newton when you were in Carolina, you should have talked to Cam Newton. Not now. You know, spewing this toxic rhetoric that obviously is no revelation around the league. He does lack accuracy. He's still one of the great quarterbacks of the NFL is Cam Newton. He's not as accurate as Philip Rivers, but he makes plays with his legs. And if you didn't get the ball enough, you should have talked to him when you were a member of the squad. What are you doing now? What are you doing now?
Now he's playing in Buffalo in purgatory. And that's good call, bad call, y'all.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Nice
Thanks,
job
Kev.
Today. Vic, well done to you.
Yes.
Good
Petros
job out there,
and Money are supposed to be here next. Are they working today?
They're in the house.
Oh, they're in the house. Very good. Well, hopefully they'll join us next. Fred Rogan and Rob Parker from Costa Mesa on AM 570 LA Sports.